Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We are here tonight giving God the glory that is due his name. And we just honor God because he is just so good to us. This is the Women of Destiny Speaks. And we thank you so much for tuning in with us on tonight. I also have Elder Bessie Coleman with me. And I'm going to ask her if she would lead us in a word of prayer.
Well, glory, hallelujah, and bless your name, my glorious Heavenly Father. How we love you, how we adore you, who you're such a great and you're such an awesome and wonderful God. God, I just love the opportunity just to lift you up and brag and boast on you. God, because you are the only thing that I need to boast about. I don't have to boast about cars or houses or meat coats or cars or anything. I boast in the name of Jesus, a name that is above all names, Father, a name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And indeed, you are such a great God. You're so great, God. Not only are you so great, you know us each personally and individually. Know every hair on our head, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Know our deepest and our darkest secrets, but yet, you still love them. And God, for this, God, I just glorify you and I magnify you. I thank you for blessing, Father, this. First of all, God, I want to ask you that I forgive me for all our sins and any sin, God, that would try to beset this meeting, this podcast right now, God. I rebuke it and I plead the blood of Jesus for me right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I just continue to lift your name up high. I continue to sing your praises and just lavish love upon you, God. I like to just splurge it upon you. And God, I ask right now, Father, for you to bless this podcast, Father, and anything that's on our hearts and our minds that we speak that come forth out of our mouth, God, it will be of you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. The words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, God, would be coming from you solely right now, that we will not speak from our souls, God, but we will speak from that inner spirit within us, God, and you would just allow us to flow, Father, like you flowed on Sunday with those three women, Father, that you would flow tonight, Father, in your own way, Father. And we are just anticipating a great move of God, Father. Anytime your saints get together, God, for whatever reason, we're expecting a move from you, God. We're expecting for you to be the star of the program, for you to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on this, for you to be the extra attention right now in the name of Jesus. That we pour our attention, we turn our hearts from you toward you now, Father, and that we would ask that you would speak in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Coleman, and we want to welcome another person who has joined us. Who's joined the call, please?
My name is Tina. I'm Tracy's nephew mother.
Paul, it's such a joy to have you on tonight. Amen. Amen. I hope you have your Bible tonight. And I also did send out a lesson plan. And I'm telling you all, men and women of God, when I was studying today, I tell you I was in tears as I was looking up the statistics in regard to abuse. And that's what we're going to be covering tonight. And our hope is that someone will be healed, someone will be delivered, someone will be made free. Hallelujah. So we're just giving God the glory. So if you turn with me, 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're not going to read the entire chapter, but we will read a few verses, and it's talking about abuse. And you know, oftentimes abuse happens right in the home, right in the church, right among our family members. And I was thinking on today as I was studying and seeking God, and even last night as God began to minister to me, as he began to speak to me, I'm telling you, I was just in tears looking at how many people are being abused every day, And I began to think about how even in the church, oh, God, help us in the church, because she said that the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And you know, we got all of this stuff going on. We got the preaching down packed. We know how to prophesy. We know how to shout. You know, we know how to speak in some kind of tongue while our children are being abused. So God is saying it's time out. It's time for the people of God to rise up. Come on, somebody, to rise up and stand in the gap for our children. Stand in the gap for our sisters and our brothers who are being abused, who are being beaten, who are being cussed out. Oh, y'all, come on, y'all can talk. I got everybody off of mute, so come on. We in this thing together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, because I am my sister's keeper and you are my brother's keeper. So we are one. We are united. And we are helpers one to the other. Amen? So again, and you all feel free to interrupt me. Feel free to make comments and ask questions and voice your concerns on tonight because we're here to help. We're not here to hurt. Amen? So again, Second Samuel chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. You know, you got folk today that practice behavior just like the devil. And he said unto him, verse 4, why art thou being the king's son? Why are you leaning from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother's Absalom's sister. And matter of fact, she was also Amnon's sister. She was just a half-sister. So that's what we're going to be dealing with on tonight. And we may read some more verses later on. Amen. But we're talking about abuse. And I know probably some of you didn't get the handout, but if you would, after this call, give me your address, your email address, because, you know, I want you to see what's going on in our society, not even just when things are normal, but even during this pandemic, people are being abused and misused. Praise God. So on our lesson plan tonight, certainly we are Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International. Our international residing prelate is the Honorable Bishop Derek Robinson. And for somebody that does not still know Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world. So you're on with the Women of Destiny Speaks, our podcast, talking about abuse. Hallelujah. And I have on the front page some pictures of some young girls, probably 6, 7, 8 years old, because as God was ministering to me on last night, he was showing me some things, beloved. He was showing me how there are people in our families, in our churches, who are hurting our young women and our young boys. And he showed me how the enemy, how he came to Eve. Amen. Come on, follow me, because it's the word that delivers us. Somebody got some noise in your background. Some ambulance going or something. If you could just mute your phone until it passes. Okay, thank you so much. So Genesis chapter 3, and if I'm going too fast, just stop me. Amen. But I'm just so excited because I know that somebody is going to be delivered. Somebody is going to be healed. Somebody is going to come crying, God, what must I do to be saved? Praise God. So God was showing me, you know, how the devil, you know, abuse didn't just start. Amen. Come on, somebody. Abuse did not just start, but it began in glory. It began with the devil, the prince of darkness, when he tried to dethrone the Almighty God, the God that had created him. And he tried to dethrone him. He wanted to take over. And not only that, but the devil, Satan, he was an archangel. He wasn't like your regular angels. He was right there at the throne of the Almighty God. But he was not satisfied with his position or his authority. You know, that's how it is with some of us today. The more we get, the more we want. And so that's where abuse starts. He abused his position. He abused his position that God had given him. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So that lets you and I know that when we get arrogant, when we get proudful and stuck up in our spirit, it don't take God long to bring us down. Hallelujah. Somebody got something to say? Come on, this is a relationship and not a dictatorship. So we want to commune and talk together. Amen. We want to communicate. Praise God. If God is giving you something to say, just say, hey, you know, whatever, to stop me. Praise God. Y'all praise with me on tonight? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And welcome to all of you that have joined the podcast on tonight, talking about abuse. Abuse. Now, abuse, as I said before, it can happen in the home. It can happen in the church. It can happen while girls and boys are on a date. It can happen on the job, and so on and so on. So abuse is something bad that affects a person in a bad way. Amen. When you do something to hurt me, to harm me, or to bring harm to me, you are practicing abuse. Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. When you treat me wrong and you do me wrong and you dig ditches for me and you set traps for me, that is a form of abuse. Hallelujah. And I was going through, there are different kinds of abuse. There's physical abuse. Amen. Where people can smack you and beat you and kick you and shake you, even burn you and bite you. And then there's sexual abuse. Even among our children are being raped and molested. The adults are committing sodomy upon our children, child pornography. But I'm serving notice on the devil. Come on, I know I got some believers on the call with me tonight that are touching and agreeing that this demon, come on somebody, that came from the pit of hell is going back.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. There's also emotional abuse. When folk talk bad about you, when they cuss you out and put you down, there's also neglect. When you neglect a child or neglect an elderly person, that is also abuse. Amen. Praise God. So you all with me in Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3. We there beginning at verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to send this devil back to the pit from whence he come. Hallelujah. It's time out. Yeah, beloved, it's time out for us trying to be somebody, trying to make a name for ourselves. And then women who are so desperate for a man that they got their man, and then when the man finished using them, they go to sleep, and then the man going in there molesting your daughter or molesting your son. Hallelujah. You got to be careful who you bring into your house around your children.
Amen.
Because there are perverts. There are perverts everywhere. Oh, bless his name. They looking at you. Sometimes a man is looking at you as a woman, but he really got his eyes on another man. Y'all better talk to me tonight.
Oh,
hallelujah. So are we in Genesis chapter 3? Everyone, we in Genesis? If you're not, just say wait, okay? Okay, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. See, the devil came in the form of a serpent. After God threw him out of glory, he came to the garden when God had formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then up jumped the devil. When God created the woman to be the helpmeet for the man, up jumped the devil. Huh?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Because God had already spoken to them. Because, see, abuse is a spiritual thing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? Our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual warfare. So you can't focus your eyes on flesh and blood. You got to know that you got to go into prayer. You got to start binding the devil and telling him to get back from where he came from. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Because, see, God had told them. He said to be fruitful and multiply. That's what he told the man and the woman. So somebody on the call tonight or on Facebook tonight, you may be thinking, now wait a minute, now this ain't no sex thing. But you know, when God said to be fruitful and multiply, what do we think God was meaning?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Talking
y'all better come to me. Come on, somebody. Be fruitful and multiply. Praise God. And then he says, the serpent who was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. See, the devil, he is a created being. He has great influence, but he cannot create. He can only imitate and duplicate.
Oh,
yeah,
Pastor. Hallelujah.
Huh? Now, see, he wanted to take over. How you going to take over the person that created you? Huh? Okay. How you going to usurp authority over the person that hired you? Ooh, y'all better come on.
Lord.
So the Bible says, and notice who he came to. Notice who the devil came to. He came to the woman. He came to the woman because he knew. See, the devil, come on, somebody. See, the devil be listening too. That's why you got to be careful what you speak out of your mouth, because death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
God hears you. The devil hears you.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to the woman. Come on, y'all talk to me. Why y'all think that the devil came to the woman?
The weaker.
Come on, somebody.
Because she was
weaker vessel. Somebody else said something else?
Yeah. I was saying she was easy to come to. Hello?
Well, you know, her husband was right there with her. Y'all know that? Adam was right there with her when the devil was talking to her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm. Oh, yes. Look. You can just look at verse 6, and we'll get there in a little bit. But he was right there with her, and he wasn't saying anything. So the devil came to the woman, and just like he's coming to our children, especially our girls now, he's coming to them because they are the vehicle of life. They are the vessel that God chose to bring life into this world.
Yeah.
Huh? Because God had told him to be fruitful and multiply. So he came to the woman, and not only is she the vehicle of life, the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And God chose her to represent his bride, his church, the woman. Come on, somebody. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So the devil... The devil, he came to the woman because he wanted to defile her. He wanted to corrupt her womb. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Because even though even though God had told them to be fruitful and multiply. The Bible does not say that Adam knew Eve, his wife, until the fourth chapter. It said they were both naked and were not ashamed, but it doesn't say that he knew Eve, his wife. He did not have a relationship with her until the fourth chapter.
My God.
Y'all with me? Come on now. And see, the enemy, he wanted to come in and corrupt her womb because he knew that the Messiah was coming through the womb of a woman. I don't care how many men try to change their sex. Come on, somebody. Want to be a woman? You can't have no baby.
Come on.
I know y'all going to talk to me tonight because we real tonight, right? We want to expose the devil for what he is so that somebody can be delivered. Somebody can be rescued. Hallelujah. And so he began to talk to the devil, to the woman. The devil started talking to the woman, and the problem was she started talking back to him. You would never win a conversation talking to the devil.
Nope.
Because Satan, who is our adversary, the devil, he is a master at what he does. The Bible says that his lie drew the third part of the stars, the angels that were already in glory. So that lets us know just how masterful the devil is. Amen. Y'all with me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want y'all to talk back to me tonight. Come on. For somebody is listening, and God done put something in your belly to share with somebody. Oh, bless
all
his
right.
name. To share with somebody, because somebody is saying, God, they've been praying even before we got on this podcast. God, I want to be delivered. God, will you send somebody to rescue me? Send somebody to show me how to get out of the mess that I'm in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want y'all to talk back to me tonight. Hallelujah.
I don't want y'all on mute.
Huh?
I was just saying.
Say that again.
Blessing God as you were speaking, that we were on one accord, because before I made the call, I was just praying for our children against molestation and trafficking and our elderly. And then just yesterday I was telling the girl the same thing, how we have to be careful about these boyfriends that these girls allow to move in so quickly, and then they sleep hard as a brick, or maybe they drink and sleep hard when they drink. And you don't know where that man going at when he used the bathroom. So when you started speaking, I knew that God had the church on one accord on this line, because
oh, praise God. And you know that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to be on one accord. He wants us, the church, to be together, because
right.
one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight.
Put 10,000. Amen.
You know.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, and there's somebody that goes to church. There's somebody on this call. There's somebody listening in tonight. They for real. They ain't faking no more. They for real with God. They mean business with God. Hallelujah. Amen, women of God and men of God. Y'all with me? Y'all still there?
Yes, yes. Amen, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the devil, he started talking to the woman, and he said, yay, have God. Yeah, you should not eat of it. Neither, you know, God said, not every tree of the garden. You know, see, the devil is the father of lies, right? Whenever he talks, he's speaking a lie. When he tells us that we ain't nothing, when he speaks to us and tells us that we ain't going to mount to nothing, oh, praise God, we know that the devil is lying.
Mm-hmm,
huh?
Uh-huh.
Because he's a liar. He can't speak any truth. And while I'm talking, would somebody find John 8:44 for me? Amen. So the woman started talking back to the devil. And in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So what is he telling the woman? God lied to you. Huh? God said you're going to die, but the devil said, no. Let me tell you what God really meant. And that's why we got all of these revised versions and all of these, everybody and their mama want to preach. Because somebody want to tell you what God meant. Oh, bless his name. But how many know that God says what he means and he means what he says? Y'all talking to me, ladies, amen?
Huh? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He wanted her to believe that she was going to be just like God, just like he wanted to be like God. Always
come
to the
on,
end.
Say that now.
Thank
come
you,
on.
Jesus. Always to the end.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's his purpose. And he's the father of all lies. He's the father of lies. But we operate under his spirit when we lie.
That's right.
You know.
God.
And
you hit
and,
that nail
and,
on the head.
Amen.
Go ahead, daughter.
Amen. Amen. And just like, you know, when you say Adam was right there, that's when women started feeling like they run their households, and that's why God didn't ask, where you at, Eve? He asked, where you at, Adam? Because I gave you the standard of the household, you know, but instead of Adam running his household, he's standing there looking at them, talking to one another instead of saying, me and my household will serve the Lord, get away from my wife. You know, he didn't allow them to have that conversation. He was happy with her when he first seen her, but then when all that happened, he looked at her and was like, the blame of God, the woman you gave me. No,
yeah.
Run your household. Adam should have put a stop to it like God did. He used the word of God against Satan when he was tempted. Adam should have did the same thing, but she was listening in the flesh. And instead of speaking God's word against him, which made her fall.
Yeah.
Which made her fall.
And
she's supposed to have said, but it is written. It is written. But we try to fight our battles in the flesh, we're going to lose against Satan. But if we hold on to his word and say, it is written,
yes,
then that's
yes,
when we
ma'am.
Have victory over our battles.
Mm-hmm. God will fight your battle if you just keep still. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And I know it's some women, no doubt, that are listening, you know, and I love men. I'm telling you, I love men. And I've seen some good-looking women, but I ain't never wanted no woman. Come on, somebody. Amen. It is not in my DNA to desire a woman. Oh, bless him. I do not have an identity crisis. No, I don't. Praise God. But we got to be strong enough, women and men of God. We got to be strong enough to know where our help coming from. Amen. And if that man don't want to take you to the altar, don't give him the milk free. Come on, somebody. Why he going to buy the cow and he can get the milk free?
Milk free.
Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Genesis 3:15. Hallelujah. Is anybody else on the call tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, we got Genesis 3:15. Anybody? So he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the devil. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the devil, he didn't know who this man, this child was going to be, but he did know that it was going to be a man child. So that's why he wanted to corrupt the womb of Eve. Now, for you and I, what does he want to corrupt? He wants to corrupt our hearts.
The mind. Yeah.
Because, see, it is the womb that brings forth fruit, and it's also our hearts that bring forth fruit. So when he caused Eve to sin, then her womb became corrupted. He wasn't thinking about Eve. He could have just said, I'm just going to kill her. I'm just going to take her out. But he was concerned about that seed that God had told her to bring forth. So he said, if I can corrupt a seed, then I know this man child cannot be a deliverer. Y'all with me, everybody?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm.
Hallelujah. This is a relationship, right? It's a relationship and not a dictatorship. We're in communion. We're in communication with one another. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to give us some statistics when it comes to our children, our little boys, and then our children. Some of them have been raped and molested and sodomized, and then we want them to just get over it and act like ain't nothing happened. Huh? We want our children to respond and react like they're adults. Mm-hmm. Y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Here are some statistics dealing with our children. It says that every 10 seconds, there are reports made about abuse against children. One out of every 3 girls and one out of every 7 boys will be sexually assaulted by the time they're 18 years old. So we don't have time to come to church and play, do we? We don't have time to try to put on airs and make folk think we somebody, trying to make a name for ourselves, and our children are suffering and dying. It says more than 4 children die each day because of child abuse. More than 90% of child sexual abuse, the children know their attacker. Why? Because sometimes it's the daddy. Sometimes it's the mother. Sometimes it's Uncle Johnny that got her sitting on his lap that's bringing her candy. Come on, y'all. Come on, somebody. And it says that more than 70% of children that die from abuse are under the age of 4 years old. Somebody want to say something?
Jesus.
Then it says 45% are forced fondling. They fondle them. They touch their private parts. They touch their breath. 45%. 42% are forcibly raped. Talking about children. 8% are forcibly sodomized. We know what sodomy is, right? That's what God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah over, was sodomy. Because the men didn't want no woman. The men wanted another man. They wanted to have relationship in the anus of a man with their penis. That does to a child who hasn't even developed yet. Huh? And 14% are forcibly entered into with some kind of object. And they said that the younger the child, from age 0, that means a baby, age 0 to 2 years old, the younger they are, the more severe the abuse. But I'm hoping somebody's on this call tonight with me that's tucking and agreeing and calling this thing for what it is. Calling this thing for what it is. Because it ain't just happening in the home. It's happening in the church. People are being abused in the church. And we like to cover up mess. Ooh, but judgment must begin at the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So victims of sexual assault ages 3 years old. Can you imagine a man having sex with a girl that is 3 years old? I'm like, God, I'm about to break down because I can't even imagine a grown man putting his penis in the vagina of a 3 year old girl. We talking about abuse, right? Talking about abuse. Anyone have anything they want to say?
I just want to say that's why we got to continue to plead the blood over our babies, plead the blood over our neighbors' children and their children, and pray from generation to generation. We have to pray and plead the blood over the grands and great-grands that's not even born yet, so that, you know, the blood of the Lamb is already over them in the womb. And when they come out, you know, a lot of times people start praying when they heard it happen, you know, but we have to pray for our babies when they're in the mother womb, you know.
Yes,
feed the blood over them, you know. And a lot of parents these days don't believe like we. My grandmother taught us not to sit on laps, or would mention, don't let Uncle Junior allow you on his lap, because there's something about Uncle Junior that they knew about already, you know. But nowadays, a grandmother like me, I was mentioning all these type things to my grandson mother, and now she done took him out my life for 2 years because they don't look at it like we do. They look at it like we being negative. They look at it like, they look at it like we being negative, and they got this new word for negative that you, she got a new word. She, besides calling me negative, they got this new word they say now that you are. And so with most of her female friends and male friends being gay, I used to tell her of these things, but they think we crazy. They think we don't know what we're talking about. Far from wanting to hear that it's the word of God, but they just think that we're foreign, you know?
Yeah.
But these are the things that our grandparents and parents taught us, but we can't teach it to this generation. Oh, toxic. Because she said, she got to get him away from me because I'm toxic. Because these are the things I was trying to teach her. You know, holding him improperly. Well, our grandmother would straight up tell us, don't let a man hold you that way. Don't let a woman hold you that way. But they've banned us out their lives when we talk like that. You know? But we still have to say it. Whatever it costs us, we still have to say it. We still have to protect.
Stand for the truth.
You know, but they don't look at it like we're trying to protect them. They look at it like we're saying they're a bad mother. But we speaking what's truth, what's been here before us. This all was in the Bible, like you said, with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's why they was destroyed. You know, they were banging on the door because they wanted to have sex with the men in there. They ain't know nothing about he had two daughters in there. They were banging on that man's door because they wanted to come in and have sex with the men. And that was in the Word of God.
That's right. That's right.
And then the man said, don't rape these men in my household. I'll give you my daughters. So
you can have
sickness,
them.
This disease, this sin was way before this generation here. And we just had to pray that this generation learn to listen. Learn to listen.
And generational.
Yes, and we're trying to give them. We bind up the spirit of Satan for making them reject it. They rejecting it.
Yeah.
So.
And generational curses have to be broken. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, God.
Amen.
We pray for.
And another.
We need to be praying for our children to have godly spouses from the time they are conceived. Pray for God to create a spouse that's appropriate for them and that they will be with nobody but the one that God has for them. And then a lot of these problems can be avoided. We pray for the right mate for our children. We pray for the right people to be around our children. I didn't know this until my son was 10 years old and I started praying for God to send a godly woman to him. And I thank God that God answered on that prayer, even though I didn't start praying until he was 10. But as a nurse, I have taken care of young women as young as 10 years old who gave birth to a baby. Now, who conceived a baby with a 10-year-old? And who conceived a baby with a 13-year-old? And I asked the girl as part of the assessment, is the father involved? The mother said, we're not going to talk about that. Now, they were really, really into the church. And when she said I said, she covered something up. Because that little girl was 13. She didn't know anything about having sex. She was running around playing with dolls. Somebody violated their child. And the mother didn't want it uncovered. Mm-hmm. And the 10-year-old that had the baby, she was in the hospital. The mother had to sign for her to come into the hospital. But then once she had that baby, she's an emancipated adult. So she was being legal guardian of that baby. She wanted to play with the baby and dress the baby up. The baby had a hole in his heart that needed to be corrected. The mother, the grandmother, had to go to court and get custody through the court system of that baby so that she could get the care for that baby that the baby needed. Now, a 10-year-old definitely had no business having a baby. Somebody violated that child, and she saw the baby as a doll.
Of course.
Amen.
And when you
know another
like
family
member, we have to be careful about daycares. Also, when you put your baby in a public daycare or a private daycare, because I left my baby in a daycare, and thank God my baby was 2 years old, and he came home and started saying things, and I was listening to him. I said, what did you say? And he started telling me, they were telling him they were going to put him in a freezer and all kind of stuff. I said, oh, no, something is not right here. And I started investigating, and that boy, the babysitter's son, had been messing with my baby.
Oh, Lord.
Sticking a pin up into his rectum. He didn't try to penetrate him with his penis, but he did stick a pin in his butt. And I went to the law, and I filed a police report. They investigated. They said, yes, it happened. We never had anybody this little can testify like this boy. And he said it over and over again. He told the same story. You couldn't have coached him to say that story. But then the judge said, you have a right to face your accuser. So he said my baby had to go into court at 2 without me or my husband and face that boy and his parents. And he had already been traumatized enough. And I believe they just did that so I would drop those charges.
That's what they want.
I would not.
They want us to
drop
it.
That's what
they
wanted.
They want us to overlook
it. You know, then, what I know now, I wouldn't send him into that court because he already was upset and traumatized, and I wasn't going to send him back into the court with those people, and he going to be in a courtroom with them and a court-appointed advocate. I couldn't do that.
And
I planted the blood of Jesus over my baby. And today, he's a great man of God, doing the great work for the Lord, in spite of what he went through.
Amen.
God is a healer. God is a healer. Pastor Weatherbone, were you trying to say something?
Yes, I was going back to the fact that you were talking about the young babies that are abused, and sometimes those babies are around people that do drugs, and when they do drugs like crack, they get excited, and they really want to have sex, and they have the baby. Baby have a nature of wanting to suck on anything you put in his mouth, you know. So there's some men got the baby sucking on their breasts or on their penis, you know. So it's not always you know, that is a penetration, you know, because to him, that his penis in that baby's mouth is exciting, you know. And they, when they get like 6 or 7 months, they'll show signs of wanting to do. You wonder why. I had a nephew wanted to suck on things. And I asked him outright, where did you get that from? And he named the person. And so I told their mother, don't send that baby back. You know, you like you're saying in daycare, you know, they experience things, you know, especially when you got your children around. But drug addicts and people are just perverts, you know, now. They do things to your child because babies are fat and soft, you know, and they get excited, you know. But the spirit will tell you, it'll give you a warning that something is going on, you know. And some babies can talk. You just think they can't. They all can talk. But you have to listen real carefully, and you can hear that's what that baby is telling you. So, you know, we just have to be more insightful and know babies are not bad, 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 but they are saying something, you know, and you just have to listen, you know, to what that baby is saying and watch and look at the baby. You see him acting strange and funny, you know something's going on, so you start looking at the people that's in your surroundings. And again, I say, if they doing drugs, they will have sex with anything. They'll have a dog having sex with your baby. They don't care. You know, it's just an excitement to them.
Once we call it for what it is, we want to say it's mental illness. The devil is a liar. It's a spirit from the pit of hell that needs to be cast out. To be cast out. And then it's revealed that not only children need to be healed and delivered, but there are some adults that have been molested and raped and sodomized when they were children. And now they're trying to live. They're trying to cope with the memory of that. And they're too embarrassed. They're too ashamed to tell somebody that daddy touched me the wrong way. And my dear had me in there doing stuff to her. Come on, somebody. So, and it was saying that 30% of those that have been abused and neglected will later on abuse their own. So it's a generational curse. Why? Because we're sweeping it under the rug. We don't want to say nothing. We want to leave it alone. We want to shout. Come on, somebody. And we want somebody to proper lie to us. Yeah, that's what we want. Instead of watching, the Lord said, don't just pray. See, a lot of us are praying, but he said to watch and pray. You got to watch and pray, because this devil ain't playing. He's after our children. And you can't be putting that man, and you know that man ain't no good, and you choosing that man over your child.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that a lot of times when a kid goes to their parents, they don't believe them. They don't believe them, and they choose the man over the children. And the kid has to live with this all their life. If they went to their parent and they told them, and they didn't say anything, you know, and it becomes hard. Because one thing, when we are little girls and little boys, and we're hurting, like you just said, then we grow up being hurting women and men, and being in relationships. And we're not healed, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to learn how to, you know, love God first, then, you know, love yourself. And God will show you how to love yourself. But if you don't get that deliverance, you're going to always have that hole in your heart, you know? But whatever that abuse is, it's physical. Thank you, this lacking.
That's right.
Thank you, LK. And so that's why the church. Yes, I'm sorry.
Another thing to piggyback off of what Elder Pate just said, a lot of times when children go to their parents or their guardians to tell something, a lot of times the parent or guardian knows that a child is telling the truth, but they don't want to face the issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that they don't want to believe them. They're not ready because it probably happened to them, or they know they knew what was going on, and they're not ready to face that issue or face that family member because they know what kind of hurt. And you know, growing up in certain communities when we were children, you kept your business out the street. So you didn't say anything, or if you say something to this person, they didn't say it because you didn't want anybody in your family's business. So when that child came to you, you use every excuse in the book to cover it up because you were not ready to face it. Or you even use the excuse, oh, that happened to me, so you'll get over it, or you'll heal, or something like that. So you just, it's, even though it goes back to being a generational curse, you have to look at, you have to break it all the way down to find out why that parent or that guardian don't want to believe them. You got to find, like she said, you have to find that root, because once you find the root, you can get rid of it. But if you keep piling dirt over it, you keep
know
it
that.
Right here.
First,
that's
you
right.
You know that it's sin, and sin is death. You know, sin is death. When he said death, that y'all will be put to death, he wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death. And so when these things happen, we experience spiritual death, you know. Yeah. But that's why God say, call sin, sin. You know, we like to call everything else than what it is.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
it.
And we make everything about ourselves, and we don't come from the Word of God on things. We try to fight everything within the flesh, like Eve did. Like I said, if Eve would have used the Word of God and trust the Word of God in all things, we trust God. Then that's when true deliverance comes.
That's right.
But
amen.
That's why, as Christians, we don't need to be running to them worldly counselors and all that. We need to find spiritual counselors, you know, counselors that save like you are, you know, because everything stand when you stand on the Word of God. When you take God out of it, this is what you get.
Even
to
God,
I would say they're Christian. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word. And I refuse, and I told the council this week, there is nothing that you're going to tell me that's going to conflict with the Word of God. Nothing that the Holy Spirit has already revealed to me, are you going to be able to convince me otherwise? And she said, well, maybe you don't need to come back. I said, well, maybe I don't. But I'm not going against what the Spirit of God has already told me. And I'm not going to sit here and be quiet and try to let you run ramshack on my family. I'm not.
Right.
And you know, beloved, that's why I'm so grateful to God that he has raised up the women of destiny, a group of women that love God and know that this work is about God. And that's why we're called Women of Destiny Speaks, because we're not scared to call a spade a spade. Amen. God has raised us up to help somebody get delivered, to help somebody get healed. Praise God. I'm so grateful. I tell you, I'm just giving God the glory that his due, his name. But God's going to save a child. He's going to save a woman, because, you know, it's a woman that's in an abusive relationship. The husband cussing her out, blacking her eyes, and she talking about she ran into the door. You know, because who wants anybody to know that your husband beat you up? Who wants anybody to know that? You know? So there's an embarrassment. You know, there's a shame that goes along with being abused. And the abuser have the ability to manipulate the abused person and make them think that I did this because you said that.
Right.
Come on, somebody. And then, was that evangelist, Angelique? Was that you talking about? And how she was saying how... Thank you. How she was saying how the kids go to the parents. And, you know, I know sometime back in my day, they used to say, you little fast thing, you know, you need to get your little fast self. I don't care if that girl got on hot pants up to her buttocks. I don't care if she got on a halter top. That does not give a man a right to touch her.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all better talk to me. Because, see, a perfect brother don't care what you got on. You can have on a long dress. Huh? Because it's about power. It's about control. Huh?
Amen.
It ain't about what you got on. God bless his
Amen.
Name, somebody.
Amen.
They used to wear long dresses. And here she is, scared. And here she is, scared. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
I'm reminiscing about where abuse begins, because I had to get off a minute. You probably have already said this, but I want to reiterate that a lot of times it starts from their childhood, sometimes family members, babysitters, and I believe this spirit is the reason why most of our young women become promiscuous. And they don't know how to possess their vessels, along with not being taught by their parents. They may not have gotten spiritual guidance. And
also,
looking at there was so much, you know, it was just so much of it. They, so many different times, and I've seen the young girls where the guys were portraying on them, and, oh, my God, it's just horrible. Even back in my time. And, in fact, if I may be so transparent, my brother married a young girl like that. And in all their married life, he actually took it out on her because he knew where he got her from.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. Uh-huh. It was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it starts way back because a lot of times, Even those young ladies that's on the drugs and things, it didn't just start there. It was already in them. They had been treated so bad, been abused so bad. Amen. And then when they get saved and come to the church, oh, God, and we have these beautiful...
Then we want to put them down. They, you know, they come to church. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. And they're abused
again.
They
come to church with the Lord. With the little short dresses on and the cleavage showing, and then we want to put them in the back. But I'm of the opinion, if you a man of God and you standing in the pulpit and you can't handle sin of thigh or sin of butt, you need to go back to the altar.
And not
come
only
on
the men, it's a lot of the women. These women
women too.
Help us more.
Women too.
And, I thank God for women of destiny, because if we spot that spirit, we can work on them. Hallelujah.
And another,
come on.
Bishop Larry.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes,
Bishop Larry.
Yes,
can you hear me? This is Sister Mister.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing?
Hey, Sister Mister. Good. How are you,
all
First
right.
Lady?
Praise God. I just came in on the line about 15 minutes ago, and I hear everybody's comments and concerns about abuse. It seems like it's for children and even adults, women that are in abusive relationships. And am I right? Is that what the topic is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
ma'am.
And,
yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
I am a victim of rape at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And I thank God that I faced it when Anita Hill came out and said Judge Thomas had raped her. It hit me like a ton of bricks, because I had put it so far back in my mind that I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't tell my mother until I was 30 years old. And I asked the Lord to help me, because I was in Christ by then. And ask the Lord to help me to be able to get over that part in my life. I know it wasn't me. It wasn't something I did. It was something wrong with the person that did it to me. And I asked the Lord for me to be able to forgive that person, because I know that they sick. And the Lord did that for me. Now, I'm not saying that I want to be around that person. I'm not. But I can spot out a person that's being abused. I can't.
Yeah.
So I try to friend that person. I try to get to them to let them know that I'm here. I can talk with you. You can share with me. Because I want to be that advocate. Because a lot of times you cannot talk about it. I can't explain it. You just cannot let it out. And then for the children, I'm the same way. Because I've had family members that were abused. And when I saw it, I said, "Now, there's something wrong with that child. Something is going on." I've never seen a kid cry, but they didn't cry out loud. When she entered this door, she was just like, "Ooh," but you couldn't hear her. She was crying. I said, "There's something wrong." I said, "But not on my watch." I called Children and Family Service that same day, and they removed that child from that house. That child has been out of that house with her mother for 5 years now. And when I see her picture, she just smiling, totally, totally different. So we have to be advocates for those of us that have been through this. We can be advocates to help someone along the way because we know what's causing it. It's sin. It's sin that's causing the problem. Amen.
Amen.
So, and the Bible tells us that whenever we know something, when we know the right thing to do and we fail to do it, that's a sin too. So I can't say, I know that my neighbor is over here in trouble, and I'm like, "Well, they ain't in my house." No, if my neighbor, if I feel like that little boy next door is in trouble, I'm calling the police, and then they can do whatever they need to do. I'm going to do my part. So it may mean that kind of person to reach out, reach back to help someone, because it is a lot of people that have been abused, a lot, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
But it's because of sin, that sex sin. It don't have no age. It don't have no color. It don't have any of that. And it definitely will do some harm if you don't catch it early. So I know we all are praying for those that have been abused, or those that are still in abusive relationships, those that can't leave those boyfriends or husbands because of XYZ. The devil is a lie. You can. But see, they feel trapped. They feel like they can't make it if they go on their own. So it's a...
And I believe this is why the Lord has us on this call tonight, to help somebody that's maybe even listening on Facebook. To let them know that somebody is there for them, somebody cares, you know, and it kind of goes back to what Evangelist Angelique said earlier about getting to the root. You know, we want to scrape over the top, but we have to get to the root, because if we don't get to the root, it's going to pop up again. So I'm just giving God glory for the women of destiny and for you all's heart being for our children and our adults. Because as someone said before, men are abused. You know, it's not just women, but we're just kind of focusing on women because, you know, we are women's outreach ministry. But we want to get everyone. You know what I'm saying? We don't have no respect of persons, because there are some men who are physically abused by their spouses and by their lovers. And some elderly people are physically and verbally abused by their own children. You know, so abuse is, it don't matter what country you in, because I don't know if you all saw the revival we just had Saturday with the women of Africa, and I text them, you know, because I want them to get in on this. And one of the things that they want us to talk about is rape. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it don't matter where you are, what color, what your economical status is, abuse is all over. And God has called us together as one. We are one, right? Some of y'all, I don't even know y'all. But we got a unity in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're talking to each other just like we girlfriends. Because God has brought us together. Amen?
Yes.
So it was saying that every 9 seconds, one in four women experience severe physical assault. Every 9 seconds. Now, can you imagine how many women that is? It said that 10 million women and men every minute, for when you calculate it up to the year, 10 million are physically abused in the United States alone. That's just here in the United States.
Well, that's why we have to continue to pray for the minds. We have to pray for the mind of men and women, because the Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. So that's why Satan is after the mind of men and women, because these thoughts begin, every actions begin in the mind. So God wants us to pray for the mind, plead the blood over the mind. And I wake up every day and say, God, keep our minds, because so a man thinketh, so is he. So all of it begin in the mind before it becomes an action.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to our text, you all. Let's go to our text as you come. 2 Samuel 13. Come on, baby.
Can I just say another thing? Two people said something. One of them said how women become promiscuous when they've been hurt or raped or anything as children. Either there's going to be two different extremes. Either they're going to become, as folks say, fast, or they're going to become in a shell where they don't want to be bothered with anybody. And that's another thing to look at, like somebody else said. You look at a child, when things like that happen, and I am a product of that, when things like that happen to a child, whether it's male or female, and God has given you that you have asked God to help you with the next person, because you don't want a child or another adult to go through what you've gone through. So when you start asking God for that discerning spirit, he starts showing you different children. And like another young lady just said, something's wrong with that baby. That baby's crying silently. God starts showing you those things. And people say, well, how do you know this and how do you know that? It's because God, you've spoken to God, and God has used you as an advocate for that boy or that girl. And so that's another thing with women of destiny. We have to ask God, and I'm not saying that none of you haven't asked God, but we have to ask God to show us the different women, or especially the women and children that are going through these things. And my heart goes out for the young ladies, because that's why I'm always asking for prayer for them, because I know how it feels, and I know what I went through, and I know what I'm still going through because of it, and I know what I put others through because of it, because I won't open up to certain people or certain things, and that's not a good thing in certain situations. So because I know that, I can pick up on the next person doing that, and I can relate to that person. So when I approach that person, I approach them with letting them know, because God has given me the words to say to them, to letting them know that how my heart goes out to them, and how I can minister to them, and how I can tell them certain things. And it all goes back to, we have to relate to what that person is going through. Because honestly, if you hadn't gone through it, how much can you truly tell me about how I'm feeling? So we have to look at all that when we're ministering to our women and our children, because, like for us, a lot of us on the phone have said that we've been raped, we've been molested, we've been whatever we've been through with this abuse. Some probably have been physical, emotionally, mentally. Physical abuse is abuse. And so with that being said, of course we have to heal from it. But as we're healing, God uses us to help those. And while we're helping those, it helps us to heal as well. And I'm a living testimony of that.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to go to our text, and we got a few minutes left, but certainly we want to pray for anyone, not only if you're not just going through it, but you know someone that is going through it, that God will give you the strength and the courage to help that person to reach out and call for help. Because a lot of these kids, they don't know, they're scared. A lot of these abusers, they have threatened them. Bully them, and they're scared to speak out. And then some of us, we so busy on our computers and so busy on our phones, when the child try to talk to us, we tell them to go and play, you know, and they like, well, I ain't even got nobody I can talk to, you know. 2 Samuel 13, And we're not going to go over all of these verses, and most of us may be familiar with it. David, King David, had some children. He had children by different women. And so in this particular chapter, Amnon and Tamar, they were half-sister and brother. And Amnon, he loved her. He loved his own sister in an unnatural way, because it's unnatural for a brother to want to have sexual relationships with his sister. That is unnatural behavior, just like it's unnatural for a father to want to have relations with his daughters, you know. And so this is what happened, and he had a cousin, a friend, who told him how to trick her, to get her, entice her. And that's how the devil, he watches us. He stalks us like a prey. Amen. That's why the Lord said to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And so that he gave him a plan how to sleep with his own sister. And when the father came home, he said, go in and make your brother some food. But that was not the plan. He wanted to get her in there and have sexual relations with his own sister. And she begged for her life. She begged her brother, don't do this. And notice, you all, she had just gone into puberty, which is from the age of 10 to 14 years old. And I think somebody mentioned about how a 13-year-old had a baby. You know, so here's your brother. You love, you trust your brother, right? Y'all there?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you trust your brother. Just like in church, you trust your brother and your sister to do the right thing, to treat you the right way. Because can't nobody hurt you worse than somebody that you trust and you love. Uh-huh. And so he raped his own sister. And she went out and remained desolate. She didn't have no life. And that's what the devil, he gets these young girls and these young boys when they're, you know, little baby, and he robs them of their innocence, of their virginity, you know. And then they grow up, and some of them don't know what they're supposed to be. But we're going to pray tonight, you all. We're going to pray and believe God that even if somebody's on Facebook and they're listening in and they're saying, somebody help me, you know, because even every person that we go to, we don't know what to say to that person, but we're trusting God to give us what to say, because there are no two people alike. You may have been raped, and then this other sister may have been raped, but it didn't affect you the same way. So we have to seek God on how to approach people, and don't, not with judgmental mind and put down and, oh, you old thing, you, and all of that. You have to have, even if you haven't been raped, you still have to be able to show empathy, since you can't show sympathy. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we were talking about, how this young girl hasn't even begun to live yet, and the devil just swooped in and destroyed her life. And she stayed like that all her days. They never helped her. They never said, baby, we gonna take you here. Come on, talk to us. Let's get this thing out in the open. And that's what happens to a lot of young girls and young men now. They don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody to understand them. Amen. So anybody else have anything? We just got a few minutes left, but certainly we want to pray before we get off.
Bishop, this is Dr. Williams.
Yes, ma'am. Good. Are you Dr. Williams?
I'm good. I'm good. I just want to say this one thing, and some of you all know my testimony, so I won't go into that, but I just want to caution all you ladies as you go about doing your ministry of help with these ladies and men. Be careful how you say what you say to them, and in order not to re-traumatize them. If because sometimes we may mean well in what we do and what we say, but sometimes what how we say it may re-traumatize them and cause them to revisit everything that they experienced and cause them to shut down and go back into their shell again. So just be mindful. Just like Bishop said, really seek God before you attempt to go into dealing with individuals that have dealt with abuse of any sort, because you do not ever want to cause them any more harm than what you are. The word says, never let your good be evil of. So just be really mindful of that. I just felt that in my spirit, because I know a lot of you all say said a lot of helpful things, but it's how you say it, and because some of the things that you all said with my experience would have caused me to be re-traumatized. And just listening in to what you all said, that's kind of why my voice is trembling right now, because I'm kind of trying to pray through some things for some of the people said on the call tonight. So I beg you, please be careful how you say what you say to the individuals that you speak
to. And I agree with you, because I was going to say sometimes it's not for us to say anything. Sometimes it's for these people to seek professional help. And sometimes we as Christians can be the worst kind of help to come knocking on somebody's door ever. You know, so I fully agree with you. We are not doctors. We are not police officers. We are saints. And for the most of it, we ought to pray for the most of it, because there's professional help out there that know how to address these areas. And like she said, sometimes you running over there in the flesh if you're not careful. You know, didn't pray it up, didn't ask God, you know, should you physically be involved or confronting issues, not going with the word of God and what word he may have for you to say. It's really, really, really touchy situation, and I fully agree with her that you have to be careful and sometimes stay in the back scene of things and be the one that's praying and lifting these people up to God and just trying to maybe direct them to some professional help that know how to help people in this. Because our words and our attitude against what it is going on can be very detrimental.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Dr. Williams. And, you know, and I agree with all of that. But I really believe that whatever someone may have said that was off, I don't think they meant it to do it, say it intentionally. And that's why God has brought us together to learn. He said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we're learning. A lot of us probably didn't even know the statistics of how many of our children, how many of our women and men are being abused every second, you know. But we're coming, we're seeking God together, looking for a strategy. God, how do we go about this? You know, because I know this is new for me, you know, for being on When Women of Destiny Speaks. But I still believe that what has been said tonight, it has helped someone, and hopefully to God that it did not hurt anyone and make them feel any worse than they did. You know, I just don't believe that God had us on this call tonight to do that. And I believe that what went out, you know, he shielded it. And sometimes when it brings it back, you know, like First Lady Mister, she said when Anita Hill came out with the rape of what the man name was? Judge. What is that? Y'all know? Oh, yeah. When she came out. And, yeah. And so she said it brought it all back to her. You know, it's as if like it was, she was right there again. And, you know, but God had her to conquer that. And sometimes we have to face our fears. You know, we have to face that devil sometimes. And, you know, and declare the word of God that I am healed. With his stripes, I am healed, devil. And you will not use this over my life again. Amen. Come on, somebody. We got to be healed. And that's the thing of it is, that's why we're here tonight, that somebody will be healed. Because some of the things that y'all say y'all went through, hey, I didn't go through it, but when I was studying today, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to break down and cry because I didn't so much have the sympathy, but I had the empathy thinking about a three-year-old child being raped and molested and sodomized by an adult. Now, you if you don't understand that, come on, somebody. I ain't never been sodomized, but I can only imagine how that child must feel. And who was that? Say somebody put a pen up in the child's rectum. You know, I mean, that never happened to me, but I mean, my God, that touched me. And I'm like, God, what kind of monster, what kind of demon from the pit of hell could do something like that? So that's what we're here tonight for, to help to heal. We can't heal, but we can help. We're helpers. If we stop trying to be bishops and apostles and all of this kind of stuff and just be a helper, God, I just want to help somebody. You know what I'm saying? Get out of your title. Get out of your position. Get out of who you think you are. You are servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Didn't nobody have to call Jesus no reverend and a chief apostle? And didn't nobody have to call him that? They just said, Jesus, Master, Savior. Come on up in here, somebody. And when we get out of that and get on our humanity for folk, we'll be able to help these children. We'll be able to help our sister that's being beat up by her husband and kicked and stomped, and she thinks she's trapped. Huh? You don't have to have nobody to stop you and kick you to kind of relate to that. You're a woman. For somebody to call you, you know, the B word and put you down and call you the slut and you ain't this and you ain't that. Come on up in here, women. And I believe it's some men listening too. They've been hurt too.
A lot of times we have many words, and sometimes words don't help. But just to say, okay, you afraid to go back in your house tonight? How many of us really say, spend the night in my home tonight and maybe we will direct you to some type of women's shelter early morning, you know, or, you know, something like that. It's other ways to help people than running in the flesh and having many words, because God say, the more words you have, the more you're going to end up sinning with your mouth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, Lord,
that's why the word says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And when we go to people and address issues of any kind, we always want to use God words, because if we use our own, we're going to say the wrong thing. So when you stick to the
and
word,
then sometimes,
when you say, you know what, let me find some word that involves this before I open my mouth. And I'm just speaking to me, because I know that when I go in the flesh, I make a bigger mess. I'm not as much help. I'm not helping. But if you sit down and say, let me take a minute. I heard exactly what you said, because most things people want to know is that you heard them. So if you let that person know, I heard everything you said, but you know what? I don't want to speak of in the flesh. Let me find some word on that, because this word covering everything, everything. And that way we won't be speaking our own words, because that was a very good topic tonight, but we have to stick to God's word and not let our anger about the things or our emotions be there, you know, and saying all the wrong stuff and not doing anything that we should have done for the person to receive help, because only God is their helpmate, and God got somebody that he raised up to help them. And we may not be the one that he raised up to help them, but we may be the one that he raised up to direct them towards the proper help.
Well, I thank the Lord tonight for each of you all, and I really didn't get the sense of anyone speaking out to hurt, and God brought us here tonight for us to help. I wouldn't have been on this line no hour and a half with any intent, you know, to hurt anyone, because like I said, when I was just studying, I mean, I'm like about to go into an ugly cry thinking about all of these little babies. You know, when you can come against an infant, a 2-year-old, you know, I mean, hey, you got to be a stone or a rock if you can't feel that, you know. So I thank God for all of you that shared on tonight, and I felt your heart. I felt your desire to be a help, and that's what we're here for. And sometimes when things do take us back and we feel a certain way, it's just God saying, you need some more healing right there. You know, it's just like when we go to a natural doctor, you know, prescription maybe 30 days, and we go back and we haven't totally healed. He said, oh, I'm going to give you a refill. So sometimes we just have to keep coming, you know, until when they say something, you know, hey, it don't affect you no more. Oh, God done heal me. Oh, bless his name. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But sometimes we just have to face that devil and let him know you have no more authority over me. Huh? My life is hid in Christ. Come on, somebody. So we got about 5 minutes, beloved. Is there anyone on the call tonight that stand in the need of special prayer? Because not only does God want us to be healed, he wants us to be made whole. And so that's what the Women of Destiny are about. God has raised us up for such a time as this to be a help. I mean, the women of Africa, they were texting me today. They are ready for this. They're going through. Women all over the world are going through something. And I know that God has raised the Women of Destiny up. And that's what I love about Dr. Williams. I mean, you know, she's very transparent. She'll come out there with it. She'll let you know. And hey, I'm getting emotional right now, y'all. Y'all give me a minute, okay? But then she'll bounce right back. And that's when the hand of God is upon your life. Because, you know, I mean, if you ain't got no kind of feeling, then you don't need to be nowhere helping nobody. But if you can feel for people, that's what God is looking for. So is there anyone on the call tonight that stands in the need of special prayer?
I just bless God that he allow us to have a love for people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's most important, because we can't be basing things on feelings, because if we base things on feelings, I'd be next door or somewhere with something in my hand trying to take a story in my own head. But I just thank God that he told us to love one another.
Well, y'all pray for me, because I felt the pain.
Tonight.
I felt the pain of those kids when I was studying today. So y'all pray for me, because my feelings, they touched me tonight just thinking about the children. Every second, every few seconds, a child is being sodomized. A child is being raped and molested. A woman is being beaten. And I felt that. So y'all pray for me that you know. I'm sorry, but I haven't arrived yet where I don't feel people's pain. I don't feel their agony that they're going through, you know, because if you can't relate, I think Evangelist Angelique said it, if you can't relate, then you can't help nobody. You know, if you can't have no feelings, that's what God was moved with compassion. That's what moved him.
Yes.
He was compassionate with people.
Amen.
You know, he
compassion.
Felt their pain.
Compassion.
Yeah, he
yes.
was moved
yes.
with that. He
Thank
felt
God.
That, you know?
Thank
just
God.
Like when the woman
yes.
with the issue of blood, he said, somebody touch me. Well, Jesus, all these folks around here, no. Somebody around here for real. Huh? Come
yes.
on, somebody. Because, see, Jesus know when you're real and when you're faking. He already
yes.
know. So, who anybody
yes.
want to lead us in prayer? We got about 2.5 minutes, y'all. I love y'all to pieces, women and men of God. Facebook, we love you, and know that we are praying with and for you. And God, he is our deliverer, and he's going to deliver.
Right.
He's going to expose these perverts and hopefully save them too. Amen. We want them to be saved. Praise God.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Father God. Thank you, Father God. Glory, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for the topic tonight, God. We thank you, Lord God, that the healing came from this topic tonight, God, from your word, Lord God. And Father God, we're not even angry, Lord God, or hate those that does the harm, Lord God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places, Lord God. So, Lord God, we ask that you even heal them, Lord God, from the sickness that they have, Lord God, and save them also, Lord God. And we rise up, everyone, Lord God, that dealt with this in any fashion, any type of abuse, whether it was emotional, physical, Lord God. Some people could speak words to you, God, that feels like a punch, Lord God. So we ask, Lord God, that you put a hedge around us, Lord God, and our children and our elderly, Lord God, and put the bloodline around us, Lord God. Send your angels to be charged over us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And as you use us, Lord God, let us hear you, Lord God, and how you're directing us, Lord God. We bless your name, for you are holy. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We ask that you comfort us our mourning, Lord God, in any way, Lord God, over this topic, Lord God, or experience anything that we spoke of tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the woman of God that is the leadership of this, Lord God. We ask that you continue to give her direction, clarity, Lord God, of your word, Lord God. We thank you, God, and how you used her, Lord God, in a powerful way, Lord God. Bless those, Lord God, that are hurting tonight, Lord God, for you are a healer, Lord God. You are the master of all things, Lord God. You are master, King of kings, and Lord of lords, Lord God. So let us look to the hills from which cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. So we ask you, bless every household, Lord God, that's represented on this phone. From generation to generation, Lord, we ask that you protect our babies, protect our children, protect their mind, Lord God, their souls, their spirits, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and thank you, Majesty. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, everyone. And Lord willing, we won't be back next week, but week after next, okay?
Amen.
Love you all. Be blessed.
Love you too.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Amen.